Blessed be the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have heard of a sheat fish? S-H-E-A-T. Well, they are unique to the Jordan River. And they look just like a catfish, except they're a little bit bigger. Now, apparently, the faithful collect sheat fish, decapitate them, and use their skulls to put in there around their house as a pious reflection. The reason is because they believe on the sheat fish's skull there is depicted a man with angels and a dove descending upon the man on the skull of the sheat fish. Because the sheat fish are in the Jordan River, and that event, as it were, marked that fish forever. Now, if we stayed there, we would go in the wrong direction. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But if we just concentrated on that, we would completely miss the point of Jesus' baptism, which is why we have today to talk about Jesus' baptism. It is seen as another epiphany event. In Jesus' baptism, there is a manifestation. Now, people ask, why would Jesus need to be baptized? Well, one reason is so that God himself would be manifest as Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there at Jesus' baptism, at the pinnacle moment of his baptism, revealing the nature of God in a way that had never been revealed before. And we would do well to remember that, as Steve Grineau has said, you do not believe that God is merely an idea in your mind or a projection of your best self. God is not some unknown and unknowable force in the universe, or a feeling that you have in your heart. The one true God has revealed himself in Christ and as Trinity, the mysterious communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a communion of divine love in which we live and move and have our being, as the Apostle Paul would say. So keep that in mind. This is the most important thing to gain from the story. God's nature is manifest in a way that had never been manifested in that way before. However, I want to show us not just something about Christ, but also about our own identity and our own calling as we consider his baptism and our own. First, identity. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is Jesus' unique identity. We will never be a son as he is a son. However, by adoption and by grace, manifested in our own baptism, we are beloved children of God as well. How is it that we put it? What is our language? You are marked as Christ's own forever. Our identity is rooted in Jesus. In Christ, we belong to God. There is no other place to go. Our baptismal life turns us from those false places. The Christian life in general turns us from those false places of belonging to a place of God's belonging. Henry Nouwen puts it this way. First of all, you have to keep unmasking the world about you for what it is. Manipulative, controlling, power-hungry, and in the long run, destructive. The world tells you many lies about who you are, and you simply have to be realistic enough to remind yourself of this. Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, You have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in His eyes, called the beloved from all eternity, and held safe in an everlasting belief. Now, perhaps we all have those experiences from the schoolyard, from that lovely time of recess, when people encourage us and tell us how wonderful we are. I remember fourth grade being picked for teams. You remember the captains will go out and pick teams and all those things for football. Now, when I played football in fourth grade, we didn't play touch. We played tackle. And so it was very important who you had on your team. And I never got picked last. Nobody wanted to get picked last, but I always got picked close to last because I was very small. So the captains were there picking teams, and then when it came to my turn to be picked, the guy looked at me and he said, I'll take that, and he used a racial slur. Starts with an S, ends with a K. And I just kind of went like this, huh? Who are you talking to? But I had to sit with that. I had to go find out what it meant first. And then I had to sit with that. What does that mean? What does that mean for me? What does that mean when other people are called those kinds of things? Well, in Christ, we are never that pejorative term, picket, that we may have been called in the schoolyard. We are the beloved. We are marked as Christ's own forever. As David Luce says, we discover in baptism who we are by hearing definitively whose we are. Besides the identity, Jesus in his baptism shows his vocation. I mentioned last week that the story of Christ in Matthew parallels the story of Moses in Exodus. And that parallel continues if you read closely. Moses does what before he goes out into the wilderness? What do the children of Israel do? They go through the water. And I actually changed the epistle today so that you would see Paul's language. Moses was baptized in the Red Sea. You saw that. And actually Joshua himself went through the Jordan before he went into the Promised Land. You can see these parallels here with Old Testament figures. And where does Jesus go? Into the wilderness. Just like the children of Israel. And the Spirit is there the whole time. The Spirit is present in his conception. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Jesus will be led by the Spirit to teach and preach the kingdom. And he is led by the Spirit to the cross. His vocation is to, as the English say, put to rights everything that has been wronged in our world. Our vocation, regardless of what our J-O-B is to follow Christ and to seek his transformation in our lives and in the world around us. And it is to follow him wherever he leads. Remember Buechner's words, speaking for the Magi. To live without him is the real death. That to die with him is the only life. We've all experienced what it's like to live without him. But the baptismal life is a life that is about starting again. Starting over, starting fresh, whether you're a child or an adult. Whenever we witness a baptism, we experience it once again. We speak with it once again. Yes, I do renounce those things. Yes, I do take on Christ as Lord. Yes, I do believe these things. Notice what we say in baptism. Whenever you fall into sin, will you repent and return to the Lord? Notice it uses the word when and not if. If you happen to fall into sin, no. Whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. This is the baptismal pattern. This is the pattern for the Christian life. Not just for those who are baptized, for all of us. We are always coming back. We are always coming to a deeper place. There's a saying from the Desert Fathers. Abba Poman said about Abba Pryor that every single day he made a fresh beginning. Saint Benedict puts it, always, always, we begin again. Identity and calling. Identity, remember who you are is who you are in Christ. Beloved of God, marked as Christ's own forever. And calling. We are called to follow Christ, to begin again, to start fresh, always. If we look back with regret, there is always the Savior calling us forward. Let us pray.